Hello, Chevra. I want to start by thanking Chazak and 20Time for streaming this event. I want to thank Rabbi for all the amazing things he does. And really, Chazak in general just does so much for Klal Yisrael, especially the children of Klal Yisrael. And I can remember when I was a kid and I started to have a really hard time with math because I was reading up on the recent mathematics and there was a debate within mathematics whether or not numbers are real. And I know what you're thinking, I know what I was thinking, is that if numbers might not even be real, then why did I have to spend so much time in math class? And that's really the essence of today's shiur, is I want to delve into the spiritual root, the spiritual concept of numbers. Because this is, I know we started with a joke, this is one of the deepest, most serious concepts and ideas in all of Torah, and it opens up some of the deepest pathways in Torah learning. And what I want to do is I want to delve into obviously the spiritual nature of numbers, but I want to also ask, what's the nature of counting? We have this concept of counting, we have the census, this counting of Klal Yisrael that happens throughout the Torah, and we also know that's usher to count members of Klal Yisrael. So the question really is, what is the nature of counting? What's the nature of numbers in general? And why is there sometimes a het, or sometimes it's allowed for you to count members of Klal Yisrael? We have a minyan, you have to count, you have to have 10 members of Klal Yisrael, a minyan. But on the other hand, there's this prohibition of counting members of Klal Yisrael. And it gets into some of the deepest, most fundamental ideas of Torah, especially the deeper spiritual concepts of Machshava. And I want to delve deeper. So let's start with some of the most fundamental questions when it comes to the nature of counting, which is the words, the Hebrew words for counting. Because remember, a word is essence in Hebrew. So you can learn a lot about the meaning behind ideas based on the, in Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew words for those concepts. So one of the words for counting is pekida, which means to count, but it also seems to mean designate, right? So we have the, in Chumash, the Torah uses the word pekida to refer to counting by the census. And it says, when it comes to Sefer Bamidbar, which is where we have one of the censuses, it's referred to as Sefer HaPekudim. Right? It's the Sefer of counting. So Pekudim, it's a very strange word for Chazal to use. It's just a strange word for anyone to use for the concept of counting. Why? Because Pekod, Pekida, also means to designate or to appoint. So when we refer to counting, it doesn't seem that we're designating or appointing or anything. When Klal Yisrael counted, let's say they're going to war and they're counting Klal Yisrael, what's the appointing there? What's the designation? You're just figuring out how many people are there. So what's this concept of designation and appointing within the concept of counting? So that's the first question. Is it designating or is it appointing? Also, the root of tafkid is also this pekida. So tafkid is your purpose, your role, your designation in life, the things you're supposed to accomplish. Why is that related to the concept of counting? When people want to find out their purpose, their tafkid in life, they're not asking, what's my counting in life? So why are the two words connected? Purpose, designation, appointing, and counting. That's the first question. There's another word for counting, limnos or minyan, and we have the same question here as well. Because on the one hand, limnos, that means to count, right? We have, for example, minu letafkid, so someone who's appointed to a position. We have minu also shares the same root as min or minyan. So when you have a minyan of people, a minyan means literally means to count. It means to bring together. Now, what's the root of minyan? The root of minyan is min, which literally means a species. Min is a species. Why? Because min is a category. It's a something that is, so to speak, it's an isolated category, a point. It almost, you can argue that it's very interesting. What is a min? A min is someone who rejects Judaism, is not Bikoris. So a min is someone who is categorized outside of Klal Yisrael, counted separately, so to speak. So this concept of counting is very interesting also, but minyan means not only count, same thing as pekida, it means to appoint. Right? We have sources throughout the Torah and Tanakh. In Yonah it says, Vayiman, that Hashem appointed the fish. And in Daniel says, Vayiman, that the king appointed. So we have all these sources where Minyan and Pekida, in the code, means to count, but also to appoint, or to designate, to categorize. And the question is, what is the connection between these two? And I would say the strangest example we have is the connection between this concept of accounting and being faithful or trustworthy. What do I mean? So there's a strange notion that this same root pekida also means someone trustworthy. So for example, Yosef and Paro. When Yosef is telling Paro who to anoint, he tells him to anoint individuals who are responsible for accomplishing a certain function. And the lashon he uses is embracious. If you want to look it up, it's the Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lam and Dalet. It says, Vayafked Pekidim, which Unklus translates as Pekidim means Mehemon, someone who's trustworthy, to appoint someone who's trustworthy. So what's trustworthy have to do with the concept of being appointed? So far we have this concept of counting being associated with being appointed, being designated, but also now trustworthy. And we have the same concept when it comes to limnos. What's the what comes to mind? Emuna, we translate that as faith, right? Most people translate emuna as faith. Emuna doesn't mean faith. Emuna means faithfulness to the truth. To have blind faith, that's not emuna. Emuna is when you are faithful to the truth. How do I know? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, way, way past where Avraham and Hashem are deeply in a deep connection, where Avraham is already fulfilling Hashem's ratzon in the world, where Avraham isn't searching for Hashem, he has faith that Hashem exists, he's talked to Hashem, he's had Ruach HaKodesh for a long time by now, and Hashem says that Avraham has emuna in Hashem. Now, Avraham doesn't have blind faith in Hashem at this point, Avraham is faithful to the truth that he knows. Faithfulness, that is what emuna represents. And yeah, same as limnos, to count. So what does we had when it comes to lifkod, we had when it comes to limnos, this concept of being faithful to something that has some deep connection or correlation to the concept of counting and also to being appointed and designated. And we have another notion, right? When it comes to kisisa, the Torah tells us that kisisa, that you should literally take a consensus, you should count the heads of the Jewish people, but the literal definition of kisisa means to lift up. So we translate it as to count or to take a census, but it literally means that you should lift up the heads of the Jewish people. And why are we referring to counting as lifting up the heads? So we have all these different translations and different ideas in relation to the concept of counting. We have obviously counting, we have designation, we have being appointed, we have faithfulness, we have lifting up. How are they all connected? I would say that everyone knows the famous midrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to count the Jewish people. Why does Hashem love to count us? What does it mean to count? Well, you know, the analogy usually given is that people love to count money. But what's this concept of counting? What's the deeper spiritual meaning behind it? And I would say the last side point of all these questions, which we've actually mentioned at the very beginning, is why is it usher? Why is it prohibited to count members of Klal Yisrael? Why should that be prohibited? So this is an unbelievably deep topic. It is a topic that opens up some of the most profound, profound themes in Torah. And the best way to really approach this theme is to really go to the absolute root of the concept of numbers. What is a number? What is a number? You think about it. If you learn mathematics, so much mathematics is just dealing with numbers. But what's the philosophy of mathematics? What is the concept of a number? So, the spiritual way of approaching numbers is to recognize the source of numbers. And that requires us to go back to the absolute root. You see, within the spiritual realm, especially when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about Yud Kei Vav Kei, talking about Hashem himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oneness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no parts. He is not anywhere in the world. He's not physical. He's not corporeal. He's nowhere in space or time. He's before space. He's before time, above space, above time, and beyond physical parts. You can count something that has boundaries, something that you can point to and say that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not one. And the deeper Jewish sources refer to Chazal, who say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, but not in number. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, meaning there's no other God, but not in the sense that there's one God, no other God. Even deeper than that, he is oneness. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, that's referring to Hashem not as one God, as in there's no other God, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oneness. And Bayom Ha'uyeh Hashem Echad Shmu Echad, on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his name, his expression in the world will be one, will be in a deep existential oneness that reflects, this physical world will reflect the true oneness of the spiritual world. What does this all mean? The concept is that the physical world is a multiplicity, a multitude, a finite physical expression of the infinite, of that which is beyond number. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond number. This world is a physical, limited, finite expression of oneness in the form of multiplicity. So, to put this another way, that's the concept of bracha. The Maharal talks about this. The Midrashim talk about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that refers to the concept of bracha. Bracha is the concept of two-ness that flows out of oneness. The shafa, the spiritual energy of two-ness that comes from oneness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a base. That's what the Midrash says. And if you look at the Torah, first one in the Torah is Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a base, two-ness. Base is the gematria of two. Now, the Ibn Ezra said, why is bracha the word of creation? Because the Midrash says that bracha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with base, because base is the letter of bracha. The Maharal explains that bracha is the word of two-ness. Beis is gematria of two, reish is gematria of 200, chaf is gematria of 20, and bracha is the concept of two-ness. Not only the letters of two-ness comprise bracha, but it's the word of two-ness, because bracha, blessing, overflow, outflow, is the concept of the physical expression, the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness into the physical world of multiplicity. And that gives the world existence, that gives the world its sustenance. Counting exists in the physical world. You can count things. You look around and you say this, that. Counting requires borders, boundaries, edges. It requires things. But something that's infinite, that has no boundaries and limitations, cannot be counted. That's the starting concept. Numbers, the very essence and concept of a number, is a limited expression of the infinite in a finite dimension. So numbers exist as points, as expressions of the infinite. That's the starting principle here. So we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, oneness beyond number. We have the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world is two-ness, multiplicity. That's the concept of numbers. A whole nother share we can talk about the concept of letters and words, which is deeply connected to numbers and numeration. The concept of misbar, of numbers, is deeply connected to davar, which means a word. It's also interesting, if you look at how a word is a limited expression of essence. So you have a thought that's beyond words. You use words to express your infinite, your formless thoughts. You give it form in the form of words. So davar, which is a thing, something physical, also means a word. And mila means to cut, and tev is a box, because when you speak, you use words, or you write, or you think in words, you're really taking that which is beyond words, and you're cutting it, mila means to cut, you're placing it into a box, teva, and davar, that's what it is, now it's a thing, which also means a word. It's limited. And that really is the theme of all Torah thought, is the relationship between the infinite and the finite, the physical and the spiritual, the physical world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as its source, Klal Yisrael, as revealing the deep connection and role and purpose of the expressed physical world as connected and as an expression of the spiritual. And like all of Torah thought is deeply connected to those themes. But let's delve into this. So a word in Hebrew reflects its essence. So the word for number is mispar. So we're going to have to delve into the nature of why the word for number is mispar. But what do I mean when I say that a word in Hebrew is its essence? In usual languages, let's say English, language is a convention. Nothing actually means what it means. We just agree that this word means what we agree it means. So a table means a table because we agree to it, and a light bulb means a light bulb because we agree to it. Lashon HaKodesh, the words are of essence, meaning the actual words mean what the word is. You can understand its meaning based on the letters, the structure, the actual word. It is of essence. Based on the idea I just told you, a davar, a thing, is a davar, a word, because the thing is the word. The word reveals the essence of the thing it describes. And actually, a shame, a name, is also of essence, because the names of HaKadosh Baruch, for example, reveal his essence. The Nefesh HaChaim talks about how all the different names of Hashem, Shakai, Yukei Vavkai, Elokim, Kel, all these names reveal different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. And your name as well reveals aspects of your essence, but it also comes from the same root as Neshama, as Mishnah, as Shemen, as Shmona, which are all themes that we could talk about. All of them reflect essence, the transcendent, the eighth. Some of the things we're actually going to go into, but the idea is very basic. A name reflects essence. So Mispar, which is the name, the word for number, reveals the essence of the concept of number. So what is Mispar? So the first word you see in Mispar is Sfar. What is Sfar? Sfar is something that has borders, something that has edges, something that has limitations and boundaries, something that's restricted and constricted. It's something that's a thing. Not infinite, not transcendent, not limitless, not ethereal and transcendent. Limited. That. Zeh. You point to it. You say this. We're not going to talk about it now, but that's the concept of the spheros. The spheros are the spiritual emanations that come out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But another word you see in this bar is sefer, which is a book. Why is a book connected to the concept of number, of numeration, of limited, of finite? Because what is a book? A book is just that. It tells you a story, which is sipur, a story, same root. And what is a book? What is a story? A story, it joins individual pieces together. Individual letters create words, create sentences, create paragraphs, create chapters, create segments, and that builds up into a structure, but it's just pieces. You can point to each individual piece, and each individual piece comes together and creates something bigger than just in itself, but that's it. It's pieces, it's points, it's parts, it's numeration that comes in the form of words. Of course, you could have math books that are in the form of, you know, mathematical formulas, but the same concept. And the individual pieces come together to create a oneness. So the numbers, the pieces, the parts are the individual physical structures that create something bigger than itself. And we have this throughout Torah. So Torah is called a Sefer Torah. It's a limited expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and wisdom in the world. It's how we get to know and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. Tzavta means, comes from the same root as mitzvah, because mitzvos, tzavta means to connect. We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvos, through learning Torah, through understanding His will, through Aseres Hamelucha Kiratzono, making our will like His will, connecting our essence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. So that's one aspect. Another is actually very interesting. It says in Yeshaya that the Nagolu Kasefer Hashemayim, that the heavens will be unfurled or unfold like a sefer, like a book. So what is Shemayim? What is Shemayim V'aretz? So the simple understanding of Shemayim V'aretz is heaven and earth. But Shemayim actually means the spiritual world. Shamim, there's the destination. Eretz, it literally means, comes from the word aratz, to run. Because the spiritual world is static, it's the source of reality. And Eretz, the physical world, is where we, so to speak, run through. It's where this process is how we, so to speak, run through the process of becoming great. If you think about halacha, it's how you walk through life. Lots of fascinating things here, we're not going to go through it right now. But the concept is that Shemayim, which is the spiritual world, will be expressed like a book in the physical world. The physical world is an expression of the spiritual world. It's like the story of life. You can actually, so to speak, hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to you through the physical world. It is where the individual pieces are the expression of the oneness of the spiritual world. And very similarly, in the second parak of Avos, the Mishnah says, V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtav, nichtavim, that all of your actions will be written in a sefer. So what does that mean, all of your actions will be written in a sefer? So the simple understanding, once again, is that you're going to be held accountable for what you did in this life. But the deeper understanding is that you're creating your sefer. You're creating your story in this world. That your entire life is writing your story. Every action, every thought, every word, everything you eat, every moment you sleep, every aspect, every detail of your life is another number, another word, another letter. And if you think about it, every letter will build up to a word, will build up to a sentence, a paragraph, a chapter of your story. And the safer, the mispar, the limited details build up into the full picture, that which transcends the individual pieces that becomes you. Who are you? You are the story you're living. The thoughts, the inner self that you're building is who you are. And that's the story you're writing. And at the end of your life, you'll see that story and you'll read it. And we obviously want to write an extraordinary story. But this is the concept. The concept is that, you know, same thing, a story, the... You know, there's another fascinating pasuk, Hashemayim Mesaprim Kavod Kel, that the heavens, the spiritual world, will tell over the story of Kavod Kel. Will tell the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod. Kavod always means the expression of one in the world. So you give Kavod to one who, you look at them and you say, that person, that's Emes. That person's extraordinary. You give honor to someone who you acknowledge as reflecting truth, as connected to something higher, living an extraordinary life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod is when you look at the world, you learn Torah, you live a life of truth, live a life of mitzvahs, and you say, like, HaKadosh, I am experiencing the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you give Kavod to that which you recognize as truth. When you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your source, as the source of truth, the source of your life and of everything in the world, that's Kavod. Now, the spiritual world will reveal, will tell over the story of Kavod Hashem. When you understand the physical as an expression of the spiritual, that's where you understand that the entire world is the story, the expression, the pieces, the parts, the physical, that it reveals its root, that it reveals the spiritual. So that's the basic concept. The concept is that mispar means a number. It's counting that which is physical, that which is limited. You can only count things. Right? You can't count oneness. You can't count the thoughts in my head because you can't see them. You can't count things that you can't see. You can't count things that are not physical, that are ethereal, that are spiritual. You can only start counting once there are things. Right? So when you count one, you're basically counting, you're pointing to that, and you're saying that's one thing, that's one point. When you're counting two, you're saying those are two points, those are two things. Every number is a limited point, a limited expression, a limited detail. And that's why you can't count Hashem. Because Hashem is oneness. Hashem is not a thing. He doesn't exist somewhere. He's not limited in the sense that he has parts. He's not even limited in the sense that there's one God and no other God. He's limited in that there's one of him, obviously, that there's no other God, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oneness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond number, beyond numeration. Why can't you count Klal Yisrael? Why can't you count Jews? Because our root is infinite. When you count, we'll delve into this a little deeper soon, but when you count a member of Klal Yisrael, you're saying he's this, he's that, he's limited, he's physical, you're disconnecting it from his root, his transcendent spiritual root. Obviously, one aspect of his transcendent root is that he's part of Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, but another part is that you're disconnecting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're saying that he's just this, as opposed to being rooted, Tzelem Elokim, Chelek Elokamal, rooted in a transcendent dimension where he's beyond limitation, beyond numeration. And that's the deep theme here. The deep theme is that you can only really count in a realm of two-ness, which is why only in the realm of bracha, of two-ness, in the physical world, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, only once that happens can we really start to count. And the concept of counting is really, it really, by definition, in some sense, is limiting. Because once you count it, you're saying it's this. You're saying that you're here. You're saying that I can point to you, you have boundaries, you have borders, you're just this. And that's why zeh, right? When you point to something, you say this, zeh keli vanveyu, in a certain sense, is, we're not going to get into so much, but in a certain sense, you're limiting, you're saying, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world through this, which is the source of hiter mitzvah, which is recognizing the physical as an expression of the spiritual. But in a deeper sense, zeh keli vanveyu, zeh, you point to this, you're saying that I'm also able to source it back to its root, which we're going to get to is the higher form of counting. Counting where you recognize that the physical limited expression is actually a revelation of something infinitely beyond it, and you source it back to its root. So, I'll give you one really cool expression, actually. The counting really only begins once there's two. I would say the spiritual revelation of the concept of oneness is one, the physical number one. And obviously, it's limited, it's not true, but in a certain sense, it is. Because one, when there's no two, is very interesting. That's why if you look at the Torah describes creation. It says that on the first day, what does it say? It just says day one. After that, it says on the second day of creation, the third day of creation, but it doesn't say on the first day. It just says Yom Echad, the day one. Not the first day, day one. Because only once there were two, when there's multiplicity, only at that point can you be counting. This is the second day in comparison to the first day. But before there's a second day, there's just day one. That's it, it's just one. It's alone. In a certain sense, it's limited because it's finite. It's there. It's that day. But it reveals the concept of something that really is not comparable to anything else because there is nothing else, which is the deep concept of oneness that includes everything. There is nothing outside of it. There is nothing else than it ain't ud milvado. There is nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the deep concept. I'll give you one last before we go into the deep concept of counting, what the concept of counting really means. I just want to build this one concept, which is the idea of Mitzrayim, which actually has the same gematria as Mispar. Mitzrayim has the same gematria as Mispar, both 280. And we're not going to go into the concept of gematria, just for the record. When gematria is not done properly, it can be seen as something so fluffy. No, this is the gematria of that, which means the gematria of this, and has the gematria of this, and people just, it's not real lumdus, it's not real divrei Torah, it's not chachmas Torah, it's just narishkeit. That's what people think. And I'm not saying that there's not truth to that, because it can be misused, it's possible. But there is truth to saying that gematria is a revelation of truth when you understand what it is. Once we understand that numbers are significant, that each letter, remember, numbers are the creative force, the physical expression of the infinite, of the spiritual. And letters also, like we talked about, a name is of essence, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really a whole nother talk, also created the world with letters. Beis is the letter of creation of the world. Once you understand that, the concept that each letter has a numerical equivalent and that numerical values are significant, and it's the inner essence, it's almost the inner mechanics of the Hebrew language, which is of essence, then the numerical value of things show a similarity of essence. And when things have the same numerical value, it's basically saying they have the same inner genetics. They have the same inner building blocks. And there's so much depth to it. So when you see the ideas first, and then you see the gematria as an expression of that, then you start to see, wow, gematria is real. Gematria is powerfully deep. And when the Gemara talks about gematria in certain places, and the Arizal does, and the Maharal does, and gematria can be used in a powerful way, you start to have respect for gematria. So I know that a lot of people, whenever they hear gematria, they close their ears because they've been bombarded with so many gematrias that have not been explained in a way that they see the depth behind it, or maybe it was just done in a little bit of a disrespectful way to Chachmas and Kavod HaTorah, that maybe they no longer have respect for it. But gematria is such a powerful, powerful concept. So the gematria for Mispar is Mitzrayim. Mispar means something limited, something that is constricted, something that is just something physical as opposed to something ethereal, infinite, and spiritually transcendent. Mitzrayim, as the root, as the Baal HaMachshava talk about, Meitzar Yam, the constriction of Yam, which means sea, but Yam always refers to that which is transcendent. It's the gematria of the 50th, which we've talked about this many times, but I'll explain it in a minute. Meitzar means constriction. Meitzar means limitation. The whole essence in the avoda of Mitzrayim, especially when we come to Pesach, we talk deeper about these ideas. The essence of Mitzrayim was to constrict the spiritual and have the physical not reflect the spiritual. So what does Paro say? Me Hashem. Who is Hashem? I have no connection to Hashem. What's me? The gematria of 50. Same gematria as Yam. Meitzar Yam. Rejecting that which is transcendent and spiritual. So how do I give you some depth to what it means Yam? So we gave many shirim on this, but the simple understanding is like this. The Maharal talks about how the physical world is an expression of the spiritual. But what do we mean when we say the physical world? So we live in a three-dimensional world. Sfiras HaOmer, how many days do we have in Sfiras HaOmer? 49 days of counting, and the 50th is Ma'an Torah. 50th is always the transcendent, but what's the meaning behind that? It's like this. We live in a three-dimensional world, which means right, left, forward, backwards, ups and down. That's six sides, six dimensions really. The Maharal always talks about the relationship between 6th, 7th, and 8th. 6th are the sides of the physical world, the 6th direction. 7th is always that which connects the pieces together. 7 days of the week. That's why the whole physical world is built off of 7s. 7 days in the week. 7 lights in the spectrum of light. 7 sounds in the musical scale. Sheva minim, sheva mitzvot bnei Noach. 7 is the natural. Teva. 7 is Shabbos. Shabbos is the 7th is always that which connects the pieces together. Because you can have a 3-dimensional cube that all the sides are on the floor. What connects them? 7th is that which connects. The 8th is Lamala min HaTeva. It's the transcendent. It's that which is ethereal. So you have Bris Milah on the 8th day. Chanukah is 8 days. You have Torah was given on the 8th week, the 50th. You have 7 weeks of 7. That's what Sfiras Omer is. And we can really give the shiur by Sfiras Omer because that's what counting is. We're building up. The 49 is really 7 times 7. The 8th week, the first day of the 8th week, is the 50th, which is Lamala min Teva, which is when Torah is given. So the 50th equals the 8th, and the 8th is always Lamala min Teva. That's why also the miracle of Chanukah, which lasted 8 days, was then with Shemen, oil, the same shoresh as Shmona. And this concept of Shmona, of the 8th, is the same root as Shem, name of essence, as Neshama, as Mishnah. We can't really go into all these different themes, but you get the concept that the 8th is Lamala min HaTeva, and the 50th is the expression of the 8th. That's why Yam Shel Torah, Yam is the same gematria as 50th as well, the concept of the infinite. Meitzar Yam is the attempt to constrict the infinite, to limit the transcendent. And that's why Mitzrayim said, Mi Hashem. They tried to disconnect us from Yudkei Vavkei, which is what was revealed by the miracles of Mitzrayim. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, until now I only revealed Elokim to the Avos, but for you I'm going to reveal Yudkei Vavkei. I'm going to reveal Limala Min HaTeva, the absolute transcendent source of this world, which is the name for, it's the Shem Havaya, it's the ultimate name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is Ein Sof, limitless, no name, no boundary. Ein Sof means there's no end. The ultimate name that we can refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yudkei Vavkei. That's where we can start to, so to speak, relate to the transcendent nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And before we go into counting, I'll just say one last really interesting concept. And just to end that point, is that that's our battle against Mitzrayim, which obviously exists nowadays, but the whole Pesach battle is revealing the infinite within the finite, revealing the spiritual within the physical, showing how the physical, Mispar, can reveal the spiritual as opposed to Meitzar Yam, which is Mitzrayim, which is that which tries to constrict the physical to disconnect it from anything higher. And there's this interesting notion, if you look at the physical world actually does seem to be infinite. You know, Klai Yisrael is counted by the stars in the sky. And the question is, well, why are we counted by stars in the sky? We're supposed to be limitless, infinite. And the stars in the sky, are they infinite? Well, it's really interesting. You know, modern science has debated, there's been a debate, is the world, is the physical world limited, or does it go on forever? Is it infinite? And modern science seems to show that, unequivocally, without a question, the world is infinite. Right? It goes on forever. Seems to be. Obviously, there's always going to be debate in every aspect of science. But what would be the spiritual theme of a physical world that's infinite? That there's two types of infinite. One type of infinite is the infinite that's beyond any finitude. There are no things. It's simply not physical. It's simply not finite in any way whatsoever. But there's another form of the infinite, which is a physical infinite, which is an infinite number of physical things. The physical world is a reflection of the spiritual. Stakel b'raisa b'ra'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, the creative energy, creative source of reality, and created the physical world. The physical world is an expression of the physical world, of the spiritual world. What's the most powerful theme that reveals that concept? That even the physical world is infinite. Even the physical is infinite. That's mind-blowing. That's powerful. Obviously, mathematics, you can show how there's an infinite number of points between any two points, which is Zeno's paradox, that if there's an infinite number of points between these two hands, then every time I go closer to the other hand, I should go halfway closer, right? Every time I go halfway closer, I should get, you know, basically, if there's always an infinite number of points between these two points, I should always get halfway closer. But then how am I able to ever pass the hand? If there's an infinite number of points, I should never actually pass the hand. That's Zeno's paradox of how is there, like, how does movement make sense if mathematics is true? which is an interesting question that really gets into the limitations of logic, the limitations of physical wisdom, and where logic breaks down, where you need a transcendent wisdom to take its place. But why are Kleistral counted by the stars? So there's many different reasons. We're not going to go into all the beautiful different ideas there, but one aspect is that it's reflecting the infinite of physicality. Even the infinite number of stars in the universe is revealing the concept of a physical infinite, which Kleistral, obviously, we're limited. We're here, we're physical, there's a physical dimension to us, but we're also connected to the infinite. And we're counted by the stars to reveal that concept of the physical infinite as well. Sounds beautiful. So now let's go back. Now let's go back to our original questions, our questions of counting. What's the spiritual concept of counting? When is it okay to count, and when is it not okay to count? So there's two forms of numbers. There's two forms of counting. The first is a practical type of counting, which is, you can almost think of it as just quantity, just technical. You literally, it's mechanical. You just do it to organize. You count pieces together. But the higher form of counting, and the counting that we're going to develop from the code and the nous, and to answer all of our questions, is the highest form of counting is counting that connects each piece to something that transcends it, to its source. So the limited expression, all the physical pieces, connecting them together, the six, connect them together, the seventh, that's Das, that's Shabbos, connecting the pieces together, and connecting it to its source, to the eighth, to the Lamala Manteva, to the transcendent. And the act of counting itself is really uplifting it and connecting it to something higher. So it's unbelievable. You join the pieces together so it connects to the transcendent, and the transcendent connects to it. It gets to experience the transcendent. The transcendent emanates within it and enables, basically, the concept of counting is lifting one up. It's lifting one up and connecting it to something transcendent, so that the individual piece now becomes part of the collective whole and gets to experience that which transcends itself. So for Klal Yisrael, it's connecting it to Knesset Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a tzibur, as a klal, but then connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Connecting is unbelievably powerful. It's the concept of connecting the physical pieces back to its spiritual root. And that's why really every number is counted. It's, you know, on Yom Kippur, it's the concept of Echad, the Echad. It's every time the Kohen Gadol counts, when he inflicts the blood, it's always connected back to Echad, to oneness. All the numbers are connected back to oneness. All of the physical expression always connected back to its source. And all of numeration, the concept of the physical world, of us as human beings, we're all connected back to that infinite spiritual root, to our source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's really two stages, first connecting back to Kleistel, then connecting back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the concept of counting is being connected to something transcendent. Minyan, when we actually, you know, I was just thinking, when we join into a minyan, an ezimun for benching, it's all about, and the Gemara talks about different forms of connecting, and the more that you connect, the greater the number, the greater the spiritual connection, both to each other and to Hashem. But this concept of counting creates connection that enables one to connect to a higher source. That is the spiritual notion, the spiritual concept of counting. And the only thing that can be counted is something that is limited and physical. And the concept of counting is enabling it to be reconnected to its transcendent spiritual source. So Sipur, Lesaper, Minyan Lefkod, you're appointing, you're designating, you're lifting it up, you're reconnecting it back to its spiritual root, back to its spiritual source. And when you understand this, it will transform your entire understanding, obviously, of mathematics. But whenever you see in the Torah, counting Klal Yisrael, we're counting, the notion of counting, what is counted, it completely transcends, and it completely transforms, I should say, your perspective of this topic. And Rav Dessler talks about it, where this whole notion of what we're doing when we're counting is we're basically taking individual pieces, we're connecting it like 6, 7, 8. The individual pieces, 6, 7, you connect it together. And 8 is the transcendence that both we're connecting back to, but both that is revealed now through the physical. And the 8th, Lamala Menateva, is actually being revealed in the physical, as opposed to the physical just reconnecting and transcending up into the spiritual realm, which is the deeper form of the spiritual, spiritual that can be revealed within the physical. And this is really just something, something very, very fascinating. Let's delve deeper. We say that, I'll just give you one other really interesting source. We say that Hu Echad V'Ein She'eino, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is one and not two. There's no other but him. There's no other. So once again, the notion is not just when we talk about that which is beyond number, that which we're connecting to that's beyond number. It's not just that, that Hashem is one and there's no other than him. It's Hashem is oneness. Hashem is not physical. Hashem, obviously, the physical is an expression of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Eino Milvado. There's nothing other than him. And that's really the question. The question of one and oneness. It's like, if you want to think about it, when we start counting, do we start counting in the physical world by one or by two? If we said that the really the physical world is Bereishis, Tunis, right? When we reconnect to the spiritual world by the Aser Shedibros, we start by Anochi Hashem Lekachan Aleph, one, oneness. Right? When we, by Matan Torah, we reconnect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the world. Anochi Hashem Elkecha. We start by Aleph. When Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the physical world, Bereishis, Bereishis Bar Elokim. Tunis. So does the physical world start with one or two? Does it start with one, like a limited one, or tunis? So you can argue that the physical world starts with tunis, but you can really only count once there's two. So really, this physical world starts with tunis, and really starts with two, but you can, but it starts with a physical one. Meaning, you can argue it starts literally, the act of creation was creating multiplicity, or you can argue that it starts with one, but a limited physical one. But the concept of tunis is within that one. You know, both are possible to think about. But you can argue that the first number of tunis is one. I mean, this is a difficult concept, which you can think about for homework. But does tunis require that it starts with two, and therefore the first number of counting is two, or is it really starting with a kind of one? And I'll give you one really, just so if those of you that really just don't know what I'm talking about. There is this notion of there really is no starting point. So the Navkamina is like this. If you're just practically counting for organizing, there's a starting point. You can start with, you know, organizing, count one, then two, then three, then four. But if you're starting from the very beginning, spiritually the beginning, there might not be a number one. It might literally start from the middle. There might not be a starting point. And therefore, you're never really counting the first. You're really just counting, you're starting from anywhere. That's really, you can argue, you're always in the middle. Now, my favorite expression of this is learning Gemara. Every single Masechta, every single tractate starts on Daf Beis, starts on the second page. You start at Brachos, the first Masechta in all of Shas, it starts on Daf Beis. You're always in the middle. That's the profound idea. You're always in the middle. And it really, that another aspect when it comes to learning Shas, you learn Sugyas Be'in, you learn any Sugya Be'in, you learn deep, awesome, incredible Torah, and you learn it in depth. You learn all the Rishonim and the Achronim, you interconnect them together. You get to the heart and core of the Sugya. You start to realize that to understand any one Sugya in Shas, you need to understand every other Sugya in Shas, because to understand this Sugya, you need to look at all the other places in Shas where the Sugya shows up. But to understand all the other places in Shas where the Sugya shows up, you need to learn all the other places where all the other Sugyas that those, I mean, let's say you learn, I realize that it's too much. If you're learning a Sugya, let's say, learning shlichus. You open up the Masechta, you're learning in Kedushin, where you have a shliach to marry for you. So you're learning the sugya of shlichus. Now you need to understand all the other cases in Shas where shlichus comes up. But to understand all the other cases where shlichus shows up, you need to learn all those other sugyas. But those sugyas are also talking about other concepts. So you need to learn all those other concepts. And to learn all those other concepts, you need to learn where all those other concepts show up in Shas. Which means you need to learn all those other concepts. You can see where I'm going. It's infinite. It's endless. It doesn't end. To really fully understand anything, you need to understand everything. You're always in the middle. You're always in flux. You're always reconnecting and re-energizing what you're learning based on what else you're learning. And you're interconnecting all the ideas together. True learning is reconnecting all the pieces together into oneness, which really requires you to endlessly pursue everything. And that's why in learning Gemara, you're always in the middle. There's no real starting point. we've talked about this in greater context. I'm not going to go deeper into it. We can really give a whole share on this. And I'm realizing for some of you might have been a little confused by that. It's okay. It's fine. Those that understood, it's also fine. There's obviously more to understand. We talked about this in the concept of Shema, which is why the first Masechta in Shas starts off by talking about Shema, which is the process of hearing, of gathering, of putting the pieces together, recreating that oneness, which really is the whole concept of counting. Counting is Shema. It's collecting and reconnecting the pieces together. But let's move on. So this also actually ties into, just before we move on, one other concept, which we've talked about countless times, which is the three stages of every creative process in life. It starts out with a gift, the ideal. Next is you lose that gift, you then have to recreate it. And then the third stage is the recreation of that first step, but this time it's real because you've earned it. And that's the notion here, is that we start off with oneness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then creates the physical world as an expression of that oneness into two-ness, and then we need to recreate that oneness. The original state, the original stage of oneness, what we understand, what we're building, that's our root, but we have to build that ourselves. We have to reconnect all the pieces together and recreate that oneness. I'll share with you before we move on. Just want to share one last powerful idea. Moshe Shapira talks about this, how the Pesach Seder and the Haggadah we end off, we say, not the last thing, one of the last songs, we say, Echad me yodea. Who knows one? And we say, Echad ani yodea. I know one. Echad Elokinu shebashamayim uva'aretz. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is bashamayim, remember, not the heavens, the spiritual root, uva'aretz, the physical world. And we say, you know, who knows two? I know two. What's this whole concept? Why are we? What do we mean when we say Echad Elokim Mishpach Ma'aretz? What do we mean when we say who knows one? And once again, we're not talking about one as opposed to two. We're talking about oneness. Kadosh Baruch Hu is absolute oneness, and that transcendent oneness gives expression to number. And once again, the number is also always associated with concepts and ideas. And two refers to this idea. Three refers to this idea. But the source of our ability to count all of these individual parts stems from that transcendent oneness. And all the 13 expressed pieces are expressed at that oneness. Now, 13 is always a number of oneness. That's why it's 13 in that song. What's the real concept of 13? So it's the same concept as 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, 8, 6 sides of a cube, 7 units to connect together, 8 is lamala manteva. But if you take the edges of the cube, meaning each surface, meaning if you go for the lines on the cube, as opposed to each side, you go for the lines, you get 12 lines in a cube. 12 lines are just the lines. How do you connect them together? The interconnection of those 12 lines is 13. Lamala manteva, that which emanates from that 13, is 14. That's why the Rambam always... Yad Chazaka, he writes everything in 14s, and that's why the 13 is always the concept of connecting to oneness. The gematria of 13 is what? What's the Hebrew word that has a gematria of 13? Echad, one, oneness, 13. So we have the Yigimli Karimuna. So 13 is bar mitzvah, where you're able to connect to bar mitzvah, where you can connect the physical to the spiritual. You're bar das, where you know how to interconnect things together. Das is a concept of 7, which is the same concept of 13, the interconnection concept. 6, 7, 8, 12, 13, 14, 7, and 13 are the concept of interconnection, connecting the physical to the spiritual. We have the 13 midos, harachamim. We have the 13 midos of darshaning when it comes to Gemara. Unbelievable topics. I will say this. I will say that if at any point you're a little overwhelmed with the complexity of these Torah ideas, that is okay. The one thing that should be absolutely clear is how unbelievably, extraordinarily beautiful and wondrous and just amazing Torah is. And that really is the ultimate purpose of this year, is to connect the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way where you have awe and love for every aspect of reality, and for Hashem in the deepest of ways, and for each other, and for every aspect of Chachma and wisdom. But what's Echad Shebashamayim Uva'aretz? Shemayim is the spiritual, Eretz is the physical. Shemayim v'Eretz, Echad Elokinu v'Shabashemayim v'Eretz, is oneness, is the interconnection between the physical and the spiritual. That is the concept of Echad Meyodeya. Who knows oneness? Looking in the physical world for all the expressions of oneness, with the 13 expressions of oneness, Echad, and bringing them all together, Echad Shabashemayim v'Eretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the oneness behind the physical and spiritual, the interconnection between the two. So now let's bring it back. When you count Klal Yisrael, what are we doing? What are we doing? So first of all, the ideal here is we want to connect all of Klal Yisrael together into Knesset Yisrael, into a tzibur, into a klal, into a oneness. So we're going to talk about how we do it before a war. But we're connecting into oneness of Klal Yisrael, really, so that we can interconnect into oneness to connect to a higher self, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you are an individual self. You connect into a higher self, your shared self. We'll move slowly. You're an individual. Marriage is the opportunity to expand beyond yourself, to build a shared self. You have a family expanding beyond yourself. Then you connect to part of the tzibur, part of your community. Then you connect to part of all of Klal Yisrael. Then you connect to the whole world. And then we connect to our ultimate self, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are other aspects, which is that every aspect of all of reality interconnects into a shared ultimate root, which is then connecting back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're not going to go into all of the details. That's part of the notion of uplifting every aspect of physicality. So when you eat an animal, the Gemara says that you should be a tzaddik, because you have to uplift, meaning you're joining that animal into part of you, you're uplifting it. The rocks want to lie under Yaakov's head. The entire world wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every aspect of physicality, every aspect of the created world wants to connect back to its source. There's a yearning to connect back to its source. But now let's talk about the Isser of counting Klal Yisrael. The Isser of counting Klal Yisrael, what's the concept of counting? Remember, inappropriate counting now. Because the concept of counting is physical pieces, but the problematic form of counting is when you disconnect the physical from the spiritual. You disconnect this piece from the oneness, from its source and root. When you say you're this, you're that, that's it. You're just here. You're limited. You're physical. You're finite. And we have examples where we are supposed to count. So we count by the senses. David counted Klal Yisrael. There were many times in Jewish history where we counted. But the reason why we count Jews, and the reason specifically we count Jews before war, which, by the way, is a potential for individuals dying, individuals being separated from the cloud. The reason why we count before war is because we're creating oneness. We're trying to connect Klal Yisrael together into a tzibur. That's why, what was the first form of counting? Machatzis HaShekel. What's the whole notion of Machatzis HaShekel? You give half a shekel because each individual is a piece, is a half, is a part, and we're connecting into a whole. That's why the whole notion of Kent and Kleist was about creating oneness. Halves, individual parts and pieces coming together to create a whole, like puzzle pieces coming to create a much bigger klal. And that's why the punishment, what was the punishment? Do you know? What's the punishment for inappropriately counting Kleist? Magefa. That was the punishment. And throughout Jewish history, there was always this notion that whenever there was an inappropriate Kent and Kleist, Kosh Baruch Hu sent the Magefa, a plague. Why is plague an appropriate punishment? Because what's magefa? We can't go into all the beautiful details, not the beautiful details, but the deep details of negef and oneg and the concept of a magefa. But the concept here, we talked about this in the past when we talked about Lashon Hara and why the punishment for Lashon Hara is negef and the appropriate reward for proper speech is oneg, which is nega. I mean, negef really is a plague, but nega is basically the concept here of magefa. But what's the notion here? A magefa, a plague, which unfortunately we all relate to a little more than we'd like to, is absolute utter breakdown. It's chaos. It's disconnect. It's when the physical is in a complete disarray. It's when everything just disconnected and chaotic and it lacks all harmony, interconnectivity, and true spiritual beauty. And when you inappropriately count, when you disconnect the physical pieces from its root, what results is magefa, what results is disarray, chaos, breakdown, death. And There's a lot of other ideas here that we can't really go into. I will say this. I will say that the tikkun to the Magefa was the gift of the Malach HaMavis, which is the Ketores, which is creating oneness out of all the different pieces, even the pieces that seem to not connect properly, like the Chalbana, the bad smelling spice. And the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe that as a tikkun to the Magefa, because the real tikkun to break down is recognizing that true oneness is taking all aspects of reality and creating into a true oneness. And when you don't recognize the physical expression as a revelation of the spiritual root, that's what creates the Magefa. And the tikkun to that is recreating oneness of all different pieces, which is really what the Ketores represents, is creating oneness out of all the different pieces, even that which doesn't seem to connect into that oneness, such as, the Magev, which represents evil, which is the ultimate notion that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal that even evil is serving a purpose, and even evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gemara and Socha Daf Nun Beis, Amin Aleph says that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shech the Yitzhar, going to shech the Malach HaMavis. Why Shechita? Shechita is to kasher, to make it good. Because he's going to reveal that even evil serves a purpose. And really, that's what the Ramchal wrote a whole Sefer Das Tzimus to show how there is no such thing as evil. Not true evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created evil. Evil really stems from goodness and from oneness, but evil is here to serve a purpose, to give us free will, to challenge us, and our job in life is to really reveal that Einod Milvado, that even evil is part of good. That there is Einod Milvado, there's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the evil is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to give us free will so that we can earn our Olam Haba, so that we can become perfect, so we can choose good, and that there is so much depth and wonder to it, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show that it's really kosher at the end of the day. He's not going to kill it. He's going to reveal that itself is really good. Now, let's take a step further. Machatzis HaShekel, when we counted, this is unbelievable. When we counted and created the individual pieces that come together into harmonious oneness, which is Klal Yisrael, how did we do it with Machatzis HaShekel? What did that money go towards? This is unbelievable. So Rashi basically, first of all, he explains that all three times Machatzis HaShekel was collected. So what happened when we were counted? What did the Machatzis HaShekel go to? So the first Machatzis HaShekel, it went to building the Mishkan. The Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects this world. We've talked about this so many times, that the connection between the infinite and the finite, the physical and the spiritual, is through the Beis HaMikdash and through the Mishkan. It's through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Evan Shasiya and the Beis HaMikdash is the stone of creation, basically of a formation. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the rules of time and space, the rules of physics, the physical world came into expression through the Evan Shasiya, and really through this notion of the what the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash serve as. It's the intermediary, so to speak, in the proper way. That's why the eagle, as of according to many, the inappropriate part was not that we had an eagle, it was that it was Einu Mitzuva, Hashem didn't command it. We were going to have the Keruvim, which are golden vessels that serve as the, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe through the Keruvim, through the cherubs. So the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is the place of oneness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The reason why the Machatzis HaShekel went towards that is because the whole notion of Machatzis HaShekel is creating the oneness of Klal Yisrael, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It went towards the very essence of where we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Mishkan. Second aspect, where the second Machatzis HaShekel went towards, is the communal karbanos. Once again, what's a karban? A karban is that which the Nefesh HaChaim talks about this. Yehuda Levi in the Kuzri also talks about this in the sense that eating connects the physical body to the soul. If you don't eat, you'll die. Right? If you don't eat, your soul will leave your body. What does eating do? It connects the spiritual to the physical. The Mizbeach, we bring karbanos to connect the physical to the spiritual. We talked about how there's three functions of the mouth. Maral talks about this. Eating, speaking, and kissing. All forms of connection. Eating connects the soul to the body. Kissing connects two bodies together. It's the universal form of love. It's when people are connecting physically, but a revelation of a deeper spiritual connection. And speaking is when two people are able to share and connect over thoughts and ideas, over sharing their words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all of them in the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke through the Keruvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed the world. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed the world through Yerushalayim, through where the Beis HaMikdash is. And Kadosh Baruch Hu eats through the karbanos. What does this mean? The physical is connected to the spiritual through eating. When we eat, we connect our bodies to our soul, keep that connection. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu eats, so to speak, it's keeping the connection between the spiritual and the physical, between the soul of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this physical world. The communal karbanos, which is what was funded by the Machzeh HaShekel, the karbanos bring close, they bring Hashem, they connect into the world. The communal karbanos are what connect Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole essence of the counting of Klal Yisrael was to create this connection between the higher and lower, the physical and spiritual, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To connect Klal Yisrael together and then connect to Klal Yisrael that was now created as a Klal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll just share one aspect. Fascinating, fascinating. What actually went into the... What was actually used? What did the Machzeh HaShekel actually go for? The funding was used to build the Adonim. The Adonim are basically the sockets. The sockets into which the vertical beams of the Mishkan were inserted. So you think, like, if you're going to fund the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, we're talking about the Mishkan, you think the menorah, the aron, something transcendent, why would we use it for the sockets? But it's unbelievable, because what are the sockets? The sockets support the connection. They support the oneness of the entire structure. They create the oneness. It is the support, it's the foundation. What is the essence of counting? It's when you have a structure, something infinite can reside within it. Right? The counting is connecting the pieces together. The structure supports that. It connects the Mishkan. It's like, I'll give you an example. Oneness can only exist once a structure is interconnected, once there's a foundation for all the pieces to come together. It was the essence of the Mishkan that the Machzeh HaShekel funded. It's like for Matan Torah, only once Klal Yisrael came together, ki ish echad b'lev echad, ve'yichin shvayim Yisrael neged ha'har, ki ish echad b'lev echad, only then did Matan Torah occur. Only then that Kadosh Baruch Hu then, so to speak, manifest within the world and reveal himself to us. It's the same thing when it comes to Minyan, when it comes to Zimun, only once we connect together to something higher manifest within us. And this is a notion that was the purpose of the Machzeh HaShekel. It was like creating the glue. It was the interconnectivity. It was the seventh. It was Das. It was Shabbos. It was the interconnected element that allowed the Mishkan to become something more than just individual structures and pieces, but to become the Mishkan, which is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to reside in the Mishkan. The Shekhinah was able to come down and reside within the Mishkan. We were able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that deep way, in that true oneness. And I would just suggest, by the way, the same thing applies within you. The more you interconnect yourself and make yourself a vessel, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, in myself, in my heart, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, my heart, I will create a Mishkan. You have to create a makam, a space, a foundation for within which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can manifest, and you can connect to Him once you make space in your life for Him. Once you understand that. So let's bring this all together. Let's bring this all together. Kisisa is lifting up. What's the concept of counting? It is lifting up. It's connecting someone to a higher root. It's saying that you are not just an individual thing, an individual physical piece of flesh. You are connected to the infinite. Counting is designating. It's saying that you have a role. You have a part of tafkid. Limnos is you are basically saying that you're designating them with a unique role in this world, saying that you are a reflection of the infinite and you have to reveal that in this world. Find out your purpose, find out your unique role, what makes you special, what makes you unique, and fulfill that role. Part of being counted was also being shown your role in life, who you are, who you're supposed to be. Back in the times of Nevuah, a Navi would tell you what your role is. Nowadays, we have to really figure that out ourselves. We have to spend time thinking about who we are, what talents we have, what we can contribute to the world, how we can cultivate our talents, the great things we can accomplish and contribute to the world. And what does it mean that Hashem loves counting the Jewish people? Counting is not like, oh, you are one and you are two. Counting is giving a role, a purpose, designating, uplifting, saying that you have a mission here in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves both giving and seeing that we are living our mission. It's also recognizing that we are part of a oneness, part of something bigger than ourselves. We are individual pieces, but are part of a collective whole. Part of Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Tzibur, the Klal, the Am. But also, we're connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chelek Elokim Ma'amal. We are an aspect, a revelation, a reflection of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tzelem Elokim. An individual that's part of something much more than our own individuality. We are individuals, but we're also part of something infinitely transcendent. And this is a notion of trustworthiness, of faithfulness. If you're literally counting, faithfulness means nothing. It doesn't make any sense. What does faithfulness have to do? But if we're talking about counting as being appointed to accomplish a transcendent mission, that each of us are counted upon, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in us. Every day we say, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have emunah, abundant emunah in me. That's the notion of emunah. It's faithfulness, but that we will be faithful to Him, but that He has faith in us to be faithful, to accomplish our mission. That each of us are designated, are counted upon to fulfill something extraordinary. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints us and has faith that we will accomplish it, that we will perform our mission. That is unbelievable. That He counts on us. We have this saying in English, I'm counting on you. What am I? I'm counting on you? You're one? What does that mean? No, I'm counting you. I trust you. I think that you're going to fulfill your mission. You're going to come through. I believe in you. Emunah, limnos, to count. Emunah, belief. Yes, there's a dimension of being faithful, but also the person who appoints has faith that you will be faithful, that you will accomplish what you're appointed to do. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Hashem appoints us. He says that you're going to have emunah. What is emunah? Emunah is faithful to what? To the MS. MS, it's Aleph Mem. What is it? Aleph Mem? Saf. Beginning of the Aleph is Aleph Mem Saf. Right? Beginning of the Aleph, the Aleph Mem is the middle, Saf is the end. The entire spectrum of truth is with the MS. What's Emunah? Comes through Amin, which means let it be true. Let what be true? The MS. But what's Amin? It's the same start, Aleph Mem, but the Nun, the first letter after Mem. It's saying, I'm going to continue that process, but I'm going to take it from the Nun to the Saf. I'm going to continue the process. I'm going to be faithful to the truth, but I'm going to live the MS. Emunah is living the MS. It's when you're not fully there, but you say, I'm going to get there. I'm going to live by that truth. Emunah is the ultimate act of counting. Why? Because it's connecting all the pieces. It's sourcing everything back to its ultimate root. That's what creating MS is. MS is the holistic truth. It's the root. It's the source. Emunah is living that truth. It's collecting all the pieces. Limnos, the count, that's the act of Emunah. It's being faithful to that truth and creating that truth, creating that oneness. Unbelievable. And that's why counting is emunah. It's we're taking all the disconnected, disparate pieces and we're connecting it back to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to a transcendent source where we're saying, just like emunah is the seventh, it's das, it's connecting, we're going to connect all the pieces back to the ultimate truth, back to the MS, back to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to the root. Share one unbelievable idea. It's like counting. Every mispar, every number is rooted within a higher oneness. We talked about how number comes from oneness. But you, your sefer, is rooted in a higher sipur, a higher mispar, a higher number, a higher oneness. It's like when you were in the womb, you learned Kol HaTorah Kula. Maranita Dalfama Beis, we've talked about this countless times. How a malach taught you Kol HaTorah Kula. Now you're in this world to achieve that for yourself, to learn. When you learn Kol HaTorah Kula, the Vilna Gaon explains, we weren't just learning Torah, we were witnessing the higher truth of reality, and everyone's role, everyone's tafkid, is including your own. And you're not born to this world to write your sefer, your story, but your story is rooted in a higher story. Your story is rooted in the truth, the ultimate truth. And that is the beauty of each of our stories, is that each of our stories is rooted in a higher story, a higher Klal Yisrael story, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world is a story. Vilna Gaon quotes Sefer Yetzirah, the world is a Sefer, 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 that the world is a story. And I will say this, I will say that the ultimate emunah, the ultimate process of life, the ultimate truth, and the ultimate beauty of life, is when we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts each and every one of us to fulfill our role. And that He has emunah in us and we have emunah in Him. And that the beauty of life is recognizing that our goal, our goal is to both, number one, recognize who we're supposed to be, and then to live that truth, to live that life, and that we are entrusted to manifest and actualize our potential, to become our truest and best selves. And that the whole concept of mispar, of number, of physicality, of disparate pieces, of things, of you and me and we, it's all about a much bigger collective oneness. And that the ultimate truth is when you are able to fully manifest your individuality, your individual numeration, your number, you as an individual, but then to uplift that individual within you as being part of a cloud, being part of a tzibur, as being part of something infinitely beyond yourself. In the same sense that you're beyond just a limited individual when you're part of the cloud, it's then that cloud becomes part of something even bigger, rooted back in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you live life that way, you live in such an unbelievable state of recognizing that you don't need to give up your individuality to be great. Right? Every single member of Klal Yisrael is counted. It's not about giving up your individuality, but it is about recognizing that all the greatness that you need to accomplish in life needs to also be rooted into a higher oneness. And that find ways to contribute all of your talents, all of your passions, all of your ideals, all of your knowledge, all of your wisdom, everything that you have, your money, your time, your efforts, everything, into something beyond yourself. And recognize that it's only when you are living a life beyond yourself that you can truly become who you're meant to be. And it's only then that you truly find yourself. And that the ultimate oneness in life is recognizing the oneness within the multiplicity and the multiplicity within the oneness. And that's part of the whole beauty of life, is that we get to appreciate spirituality so much more when we're able to connect the physical to the spiritual. We're able to appreciate the physical so much more when we're able to connect the spiritual to the physical. And that truth becomes mind-blowingly amazing when you live a life of Torah, when you live a life of Torah truth. So my bracha to you is that you should be ever increasingly able to find the beauty and the spirituality within the physical and the physical within the spiritual, meaning connecting the physical back to the spiritual. And you should live a life of Torah truth, of MS, really living a life of emunah towards MS. You should be zocha to fulfill your individual role, your individual tafkid, but recognizing that the only way to fulfill your individual tafkid is to connect your individuality into a greater klal.